All right. I believe we're on top of something really good. That song's by Rita Springer. My wife loves Rita Springer, and so I do too. His mercy goes on and on and on. Come on. He's good. He is good. I'm excited about the fact that we serve a good God and that He desires good things for you and me. This whole message, this whole series about a call to character is really about that God is good. He wants to be good in your life. And when we are like Him, we are like His goodness, then good things begin to take place in our lives and around us and in other people's lives. Amen. We need to be good like God is good. Amen. Today is a good day. It's a new day. It's your day. Today is a day that you can take hold of this opportunity to hear God's word, to experience His presence, and your life can be changed. Amen. You guys excited about that today? A call to character. If you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21, we will get started in the word. We'll find here in John chapter 21, I'm going to start in verse 15 and give you a little lead up to the story, is that Jesus has already lived and died and was raised from the dead. And He had showed Himself to the disciples many times. And this is the last time in the book of John that it's recorded. And so what happened was the disciples had just got done hanging out with Jesus maybe a couple days before. It's not really very clear, but it wasn't long. And they got bored or disillusioned or who knows why they did this. But they decided, Peter goes, let's just go fishing. So he gets in his boat. And he gets some of the other homeboy disciples out with him, and they throw all their gear into their boats, and they go out, and they start fishing. They fish all night. And it's very common for fishermen in this time to fish all through the night, especially in the Sea of Galilee. You could hold up a torch and actually see schools of fish in the water. So fishing at night was kind of an advantage. So you know, they catch them. They find themselves out there doing what they know how to do, fishing for some fishies, right? Casting their nets. And as they're out there and the morning comes, they're just getting nothing. They're getting skunked. They're just straining seaweed. They're just filtering out the lake, you know, not catching nothing. I spent a lot of years commercial fishing, and those are bad days. It's hard to get rich when you don't catch any fish. All you get is stick fish and little sharks and stuff. So Jesus calls out to them, and He says, friends, have you guys caught anything tonight, all night? No. They're like, we suck. We've got nothing. And so Jesus is like, dude, just throw your net on the other side. Just do it. They're like, gosh, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Oh, whatever, dude. All right. So they throw it on the other side, and all of a sudden, poof, it just gets loaded with fish. So many that it's like sinking their net. And all of a sudden, they get it. Oh, my gosh. That's the Lord. So Peter puts on his outer cloak. I guess he likes to fish naked. So he puts on his clothes and he jumps out of the water and he just swims into shore and he finds it's the Lord. And God, Jesus has got some cool little food and, you know, a little fire going on the side of the beach, and he's having himself a little bonfire, not doing what a lot of young people do at bonfires by the beach. But, you know, why is that anyway? But he's there kicking it, waiting for the disciples to pull in their 150 some odd fish that just loaded down their net. And so he tells Peter, go back and, you know, get some fish and we'll throw it on the fire. So him and the disciples get everything settled. And it comes into here and into verse 15. And if you look with me in your Bibles, it reads here. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave us your word. Lord, that it is your true and truth. God, it is unchanging. It does not vary. God, your truth is absolute. It's like gravity. God, no matter what we see or what we do, God, your truth is never changing. It is absolute. God, we thank you that your truth, your word, has the power to just transform us, God, to change our desires, to stir us up, God, to make us new. Father, we pray that today you'd breathe life on your word. You'd use my words, God, that they would be yours, and that people's lives would be changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So why would Jesus come to John and, to Peter and ask him all of these provoking questions about his heart? He's like, Peter, come on. Do you love me? You know, why is he probing in this way? Why is he stirring up Peter to answer him like, you know, what do you desire? Really, Peter, what do you desire? You know, really what Jesus is asking Peter over and over is not so much about, you know, how much he, you know, loved the Lord in the past or what he had done with his life or, you know, what's he going to do in the future. He's coming down to one very specific point. Peter, what do you desire? Do you desire me? Do you love me? It's like, what do you desire? And do you desire what I desire? Do you desire what I desire? And do you desire me in your life? Or is it all about these things out here? These things, this fishing, these careers, these different ventures that you could go on? Or do you love me? See, I think about desire. When I think about it, it reminds me a lot of my childhood. It reminds me of when Christmas times would roll around. You know, we get to find out what is in our heart when it comes to Christmas time, what our desires really are when it comes around time for the presents under the tree. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, go sit on Santa's lap and, ooh, tell Santa, giant fat drunk man, what you really want. Okay, Santa, I really want a race car. I remember when I was young, really desiring all kinds of different things every year. It was like something new every year. How many guys have been there? It's like every year you just got a new desire. Remember when I was really young, it was Star Wars, you know? Oh, Santa, if I could just have that Ewok. Ooh, and that AT-AT Raider. Come on. Come on. Santa, I'm going to write out my list. I got cookies lined up for you. Ewoks. I want the whole Ewok village. Give me the Death Star. You know? How come nobody ever wanted the evil emperor, you know? Nobody ever wanted that nasty guy. Yeah, I don't think I ever had the evil emperor, but I had so many Star Wars characters. He was just kind of icky. You know, pick up your weapon. Strike down your father and take his place at my side. Right? Who wants the evil emperor? I don't know. So every year you go around, you want something new. It went from Star Wars to He-Man. You guys ever remember He-Man? Yes. By the power of Grayskull! Right? You guys don't know. All right. Every year, something new. It went from Star Wars to He-Man to G.I. Joes to Transformers. Every year, just desire. Really need this. If I just had this one more, my life would be complete. All my fun would just be lined out for the whole year, right? I'd be locked and loaded. And then it moves on to different things like hairdos. If I could just grow out the perfect greasy mullet. Seriously, I used to dream this. I had this desire to have the longest, greasiest, coolest mullet in my school. I know it's sick and wrong, but it was my desire. I worked so hard, and then one day my dad sits me down. He's like, no. This isn't working, dude. You're going to take a shower. One. Two, your hair looks like poo-poo, and I'm going to cut it. I remember sitting there in junior high crying as my dad is just cutting my mullet that I've been working so hard to grow. Got to have the best, you know, skateboard with hot pink wheels and truck lifts and rail guards, you know what I'm saying? Back in the army days of how combat skateboarding, if you guys don't know anything I'm talking about, but we used to just get our skateboards and they'd be so nice and we'd put all the stickers on them and then we'd be like, we must protect this. So we'd get rail guards and tail guards and lifts that would get them all up really high. And how many guys skateboard in here? Okay, yeah, okay. That's not cool anymore. Now your skateboard's got to be all thrashed and, you know, but anyway, that's not how we lived. You know, it'll just continue on. Every desire, we got to have the cutest girlfriend. You know, it's now it's about our social status, right? I've got to have the best locker. Oh, God, give me the best locker this year. Because I know that cute girl is just right there in that hallway. If I'm right here, then they'll all walk back. Oh, so bad. How you doing? You know what I'm saying? If I could have the perfect body, right? You desire all kinds of different things. I used to desire to be the best football player. I put all of my waking energy and hours, 3-4 times a week, I'd go in and work out for 3-4 hours a day just to get in shape so I could play football, so I could crack some skulls, bust some heads. You know what I'm saying? It was my own desire. Ever since I was in like 8th grade, that's all I focused on until I got saved. Until I was, for the next 4 or 5 years of my life, that's all I could keep my eyes on. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, it was like 2 weeks later, and I had college scouts looking at me. I was like ready. I was ready to make my move. The next year is going to be my senior year of football. And I give my heart to Christ, and Jesus goes, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? I haven't called you to be a football player. That's not what I called you to do. I called you to something else. Do you desire what I desire? Do you desire me? And I had to make a choice right then that is this life going to be about my desires? Or is my life now going to be about desiring the Lord and desiring what He desires? Amen? So as we're looking in the life of Peter, and we're looking at the challenge that the Lord brings to Peter, especially in this passage. Now, it really relates all the way back to the full encounter that Jesus had with the heart of Peter. As Jesus calls Peter out of his father's business, his natural father's business in the fishing industry, he says, Peter, come, follow me. Peter leaves everything, leaves his father, drops all his nets, and comes, goes, and follows Christ. Why? Why did he follow him? It really is not too long after that Jesus discovers and knows the heart of why Peter is following him. And the passage in John 13, verse 36, Peter asks Jesus, he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replies, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. Start speaking to him in a little bit of riddle here. Verse 37, Peter asked, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered him, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows on the third, you will disown me 3 times. This happened in the Garden of Gethsemane just before Jesus was arrested. And the Lord had asked Peter to pray. And there's many things that the Lord had encountered with Peter before this moment. But Jesus knew the heart of Peter. And he questions him. He says, would you really? I mean, you say this with your mouth. You say this with your words. But would you really? See, your character It goes much deeper than what you say. Your character is much, much deeper than just what you say. See, Peter had a very outward appearance of having this confidence and this desire to just lay it all on the line for God. Lay it all on the line for Jesus. And be there right there for him. But when it came down to it, when the pressure was really on, when all the men came to arrest Jesus, Peter, his true quality, his true character was exposed. It was made known. And he ends up denying the Lord 3 times and disowning him. But there are some things in Peter's life before his character was completely exposed in the end that the Lord was referring to. And these are the things I want to dig into right now, and it's in Mark chapter 8. If you'll turn your Bibles there with me to Mark chapter 8. We're just going to look at the motivations of our heart. We're looking at the desires of our heart. What do you really desire? What did Peter desire? See, Jesus begins to speak to Peter and to his disciples, and he began to teach them, verse 31, chapter 8, 31, Mark chapter 8, 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and that they must be then, and that he must be killed and after 3 days raise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. It's awesome. He's like, dude, stop it. Stop talking that way. Verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at him, looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus takes you right out in front of everybody and says, Satan, shut up. See, he knew the heart of Peter. He knew what Peter was really after. See, most of the people, the Jews, most of what their understanding of the Messiah was that he was going to be this natural king that came in and stopped all of the oppression of the Israelites. See, for 400, 500 years, they had not only been in captivity, but they'd just been oppressed left and right by one nation after another, just kicking their butts, just tearing them up, and always ruling over them. Until Rome, and now Rome is ruling over them. They've been hoping that their Messiah, their king, would come in and just rescue them in the natural. And so Peter, thinking, this is my Messiah. This is the king. He believes he is, and thinking he's going to establish this natural kingdom, this natural rule over Israel and protect them from their enemies, and all of a sudden, the kingdom of God. We're here, right? In the natural. But he's probably thinking, you know, man, if I stick with this Jesus, if I stick with the Messiah, I got myself a pretty good thing going here. I might just be number two. Right? He's like, Jesus, if you die, who am I going to be? He's trying to preserve his position. See, Jesus was exposing Peter's self-nature, his nature to self-preserve, to preserve his own position in life. Just don't say this kind of stuff like you're going somewhere, you're dying. No, we're going to take the kingdom. We're going to do this thing. Come on, Jesus, focus. Focus. We're going to do it. Right? Just like, dude, you just don't get it. You've got this self-desire, this self-preservation. No, Satan. Those are Satan's words. Those are the earthly perspectives. Those are your earthly eyes, man. You got to wake up. And he says this to Peter, and he gathers the crowd around and speaks to Peter, the disciples, and the crowd. And he says in verse 34, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, say myself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it that a man gain the whole world, all this self-preservation? You get everything you ever desired and ever wanted in the natural, but you forfeit your soul. You lose it all spiritually. And when you stand before in the judgment, God judges you and you go to hell for eternity. Come on. This is the truth. This is reality. Jesus is like, hey, you can't look with your natural eyes. You've got to get your spiritual eyes activated. You've got to discover what the Lord desires. You need to desire the Lord. Amen? And he says, he goes on in verse 37, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? How can you pay for your sin? How can you pay for the wrongdoings? How can you pay for your self-centeredness? Verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with all his angels. It's really amazing that he comes here, and it's really amazing as we look in this scripture of what Jesus is really depicting. It's almost a prophetic revelation of what Peter was going to do. He's saying, Peter, if you deny me, everybody listen, this message is to Peter, but this is to all of you. Listen, if you deny me before men, listen, I'm going to deny you before my God, before my Father. This is serious stuff. This is this real deal. You've got to know and you've got to have the desires of the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 37. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 37. See what happens in the story when we're back in the garden, as Peter comes back into the garden and Jesus takes him and the two sons of Zebedee, and they kind of go off a little bit further, and Jesus says, hey, he says this to them. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going on a little further, he fell to his face into the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but as you will. See, Jesus is about, he knows he's about to go to the cross. He's in the garden and he's just praying, he's seeking the Lord. This is too overwhelming for me. But not my will, God, but your will be done. And in verse 40, then he returns to his disciples and found them sleeping. He says, suck of fools, could you not keep watch with me but 1 hour? He doesn't really say sucker fools, but he says, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus is directly telling Peter and the disciple and his other disciples, he's like, look, there's some serious stuff about to shake down right now. And you need to be awake. You need to be ready. You need to be watching and praying and getting yourself prepared for what is about to happen. Because the enemy's about to come in here and stir things up. So after this time of prayer occurs, then all of the armies of the guards from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the temple guards, and then they come to arrest Jesus. And when they're standing there and they come in and they're just about to make a move in on Jesus, what does Peter do? Peter pulls out his sword and he's like, nuh-uh, this isn't going to happen. He pulls out his sword and he starts going to battle. He chops off the Malchus's ear. He's like, you're going down, right? He's ready to go to battle outwardly. He's ready and willing to protect his kingdom, his king. But see, Peter still has this outward focus, this outward mindset. He's sleeping, getting rested, ready for the physical battle. And he's not there ready for the spiritual one that lies in front of him. And Jesus stops it all. He says, wait, hold on a second. He grabs Peter by the hand and he sits his sword aside. And he says, put that thing down. We're not in the middle of a natural battle here, buddy. This isn't what's going on. You've got to get your eyes fixed on what's really happening here. And when he stops Peter and he heals the guy's ear and he settles everything down, and Peter stands off to the side and he's like, okay, so I can't fight him. Now what do I do? See, there was a depth in Peter's life. And it was just on the surface. It was just on the outside. There was no deep well. There was no deep desire inside of Peter. that had a deep spiritual understanding or a strength to stand. After that moment, when all his physical efforts of defending his king come to an end, where is Peter left standing? The guards move in on Jesus and he takes off and flees, and he follows behind and just watching where they're just out of the sight where they can't see him. And they go in and they begin to beat and mock Jesus, and he's standing off to the side, and people come to him one after another, three times in a row, asking him, "Weren't you with him? Aren't you one of his disciples? I know you. I know who you are. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those Jesus followers, right?" But his spirituality was only on the surface. It was all natural for Peter. His desire was all natural. All natural. That's why I don't go to Homer. That's why I didn't marry a woman from Homer. All natural. Just kidding. If you're from Homer, don't be offended. If you don't shave your armpits, ladies, I'll still love you. All right? See, it was all surfacey. It was all natural. It's just natural connection with the Lord. It's all his relationship was, that there was no spiritual depth. So when the pressure came, when the fire came, when the temptation came, he denied the Lord three times. Once the rooster crows and he realizes what he had done, that he had denied the Lord, that he had just completely and totally blown it, the brokenness that happened in his life after that was so tremendous, he went off and he just wept. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. But an amazing thing happens after this story is that even though Jesus had mentioned to Peter multiple times, "Listen, buddy, you've got to get this thing. You've got to get what I desire." He never really got it until this moment when he realized that in his own strength, in his own surface connection with this thing he calls his Lord, this person he calls his Lord, quote unquote, when he realizes that that surface, that natural connection has come to an end, he starts to discover that in and of himself, he does not have the ability to become and to serve and to endure what Jesus was about to endure what Jesus was calling him to. And he realized in a state, in a moment of humility, he wept bitterly. And he realized he could not do it in and of himself. And he began the journey of transformation and learning what it was that the Lord desires. And he began a transformation journey into really desiring the Lord on a spiritual connection. And here's kind of how things come about, or how they kind of shake out. Is when Jesus, if we go back to John chapter 21, and we look at when Jesus is saying, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than yourself?" And I want you to think about this. If the Lord was speaking to you as he was to Peter, and he's saying, "Do you love me more than yourself? Do you love me more than your ability to provide for yourself, to establish your own career? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than your success? Do you love me more than your social status? Do you love me more than your baggage and your hurt and your pain and all those things that you identify with and you get all this attention for? Do you love me more than those things? Do you love me more than your hurt? Do you love me more than your unforgiveness? Do you love me more than your own ideas? Do you love me more than that God you've created in your own heart so that you can live a life that you think is just fine and dandy for you? Do you love me more than that little God that you've created so you can have an easy, cheesy little life? Do you love me more than these things?" So we take what the Lord challenged Peter with, and we take it right to our own life and our own heart and ask ourselves, "Lord, do I love you more than these? do I really desire you? Jesus really wanted to know if Peter loved him, if he desired him. Above all things, do you desire me? Do you truly love me? The Bible says in the Old Testament that you shall have no other gods before me. And do not make for yourself any graven images, any idols. That means make up your own God that suits yourself, that makes it easy for you to just do whatever you want. Sometimes we just say, oh, I serve this great God. I mean, he's a God of love, and he's just nice and fluffy. We just make up all this stuff. You know what? You might have that God, but he's just this little God that you've made up in your own heart and mind, because it's not the truth. You just made him up. The Bible says that you shall make no other gods, that you shall have no other gods before him and serve the Lord your God only. So I ask you today, as the Lord asked Peter, what do you desire? Who do you desire? Are there other things in front of your desire of the Lord? Because if there are, there are idols in your life. Then God is not the only one in front of you. He is not the number one in your life. You have got to be willing to lay those things on the altar. You've got to be willing to lay those things down so that God can be number one. So that God can take that first place in your heart, and there would be nothing else in front of you, in front of or above the Lord in your life. Now, when Peter ends up in this process of purging of his character, see, he ends up just after the garden, and he ends up in that situation with the Lord and watching Christ be crucified, and in that denying him, in that process of all that pain and that suffering, when the heat really came on, it began to purge something. It began to expose his sinful nature. And now there are situations in our lives, and I've talked about this a lot, that will just come about that will begin to expose and purge our sinful nature. How many of you guys have ever experienced something like this? You know what I'm saying? We experience these things like Jesus, like Peter did, watching Christ be crucified, and it exposed what he truly believed, where he truly was at. But just down the road from this, after Jesus comes back and he reestablishes Peter after this this time when he's sitting down in John 21 with him, and he says, listen, feed my sheep. I got something for you to do. You need to begin to desire what I desire. It says, feed my sheep. Do you desire what I desire? Now, I want you to desire me. Love me. But do you desire what I desire? Are you just going to go after doing whatever you want to do? Feed my sheep. If you really love me, the Bible says if you love him, you will obey his commandments, right? He says, go. You want to obey God's commandments? He says, feed my sheep. Go. Go into all the nations and make disciples. He says, go. Be love to the world. You need to go and be compassion, love, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all of these things. We need to desire them. So we need to desire what God desires. It cannot just be wrapped up in our own selfish Christian lifestyles where we say, oh God, I love you. You're my Lord. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bibles. Because I got 6 of them, 12 different translations. I don't know how it works out. I'm not very good at math, but 6 and 12, Lord, I've got them, and I'm going to read them, and I'm going to be so on fire for you, Jesus, right? So I'm going to go to church, I'm just not going to talk to my neighbors about you and my friends at school. Just, you know, I don't want them to not like me. They'll figure it out, right? I'll just radiate. Just glow off of me. Just feel Jesus. Just in my locker. Jesus. Lord, let the love flow off of me. Right. He says, feed my lambs. feed my sheep, right? Go make disciples. Glowing for Jesus is not making disciples. It's not. I don't know whoever told us that this was making disciples, but it's not. We need to have real action. We need to really share our faith. Jesus says, go make disciples. He tells Peter, he goes, Peter, listen, I'm going to build my church on you. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You are going to be the rock. I'm going to build a church on you. You're not going to be the same. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you just turn your Bibles there, Jesus says to the disciples in verse 4, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift from that the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what does Peter do? See, Peter had an encounter with the Lord. Peter didn't any longer trust in himself. He's like, I'm not just going to go out there and try to do this again, because I got smoked last time I did that. I'm done. I'm done with myself. Just this whole deal is not about me. I'm ready to wait. See, before he wasn't willing to wait. He wasn't willing to watch and pray and seek and knock and ask the Lord and wait with the Lord. But then all of a sudden, after he comes to the end of himself, he gets to a place where he's ready. He's ready to wait. And he gets up in that upper room with all the rest of the disciples, and they're there for days, man. They're there for a long time, just crying out to God. God, what do you desire? You said you were going to send it. Come on, do it. Send me your Holy Spirit. We're ready. Pour it out on us now. Come on. We're ready. We don't want to go until you give it to us. You said for us to wait. We're going to wait. Day after day after day, they waited. They waited and waited until the Lord poured out his Spirit on them. Peter wasn't going to go do it on his own anymore. He's ready. He was willing to get and to know and to have what God desires in his life. It's like, God, what do you desire? Pour out, you said, pour out your Spirit. I'm going to hear I heard your word. I'm going to obey your word. I'm willing to lay myself on that threshing floor. Come on, and let you beat it out of me. Lord, you do it this time, not me. What do you desire? The Holy Spirit begins to fall, comes in like a rushing wind. It says as tongues of fire came and rested over them. Now you really desire a cool hairdo. Bam! Right there, tongue of fire. That's a rocking hairdo. Come on. You want to be popular? Tongues of fire. Right on your hair. Burn, baby, burn. So all of a sudden they begin to speak in another tongue, all these different languages. They go out of the upper room. Holy Spirit is just pouring out like crazy. Peter stands up in front of 3,000, more than 3,000, but he stands up in front of thousands, preaches the gospel, and 3,000 men give their hearts to Christ and believe. This is not the same Peter. This is a new Peter. This is a new creation. See, as he began to desire the Lord, as he began to desire what God desires, see, God desires souls. God desires people to know him. He wants them to know him. That's what he desires. You want to know God's will for your life? It's right here. I'm telling you today, God's will for your life is for you to desire him. His will for your life is for you to know him. And he wants you to desire what he desires. His desire is for you to desire people to know him as well. See, once Peter gets to the end of himself, his self-preservation, his self-focus, right? His self-nature, his sin, he begins to desire what God desires, and all of a sudden he's willing to wait for that thing. He doesn't have to make it happen, doesn't have to get his sword out, his natural ability, and start chopping dudes' ears off, trying to make something happen, trying to build that kingdom himself. No, he's willing to wait. And he sits and he waits, and he gets a word from God, and he gets the fullness of God's power and his Spirit. And in that, he stands before thousands, and all of a sudden, a huge wave, God's church is built. Come on, right there, the church was established upon Peter's ministry. 3,000 men in one time, they're saved. That's huge. This kind of ministry, this kind of life, doesn't come out of your own desires. It doesn't come out of your desire to have a great career. It doesn't come out of your desire to have all of your classes all organized and get the 4.0 and be on the honor roll and be the best basketball player, football player, slash hockey stud there is. It doesn't come out of that stuff. It comes out of your desire for the Lord. Your desire to be willing to lay your life on that threshing floor and allow Him to transform your character. Last week we talked about the threshing floor, that's where they would take and they would beat the wheat and it would break off the chaff, the unwholesome, the ungodly part of your life. I'm talking about breaking off your old nature, your old character, you beginning to desire what God desires, you beginning to be focused on what He wants you to be focused on. And then he breaks off all the chaff, all of the worthless and the godless things out of your life and transform your old nature into a godly nature. We're talking about a call to character. You and I have got to seriously consider what we desire. We've got to seriously consider what we are willing to trade our lives for and what we are willing to seek God for. See, if you go on in John, and we're going to wrap everything up right here. If you go on in John chapter 21, Jesus says this. After He says, feed my sheep, He says, I tell you the truth, that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this in verse 19. It says, Jesus said this to indicate what kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then He said to him, follow me. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Dude, stop looking at everybody else. Break off this silly old self-nature, this self-preservation, this focus on yourself. Get rid of it. It doesn't matter what this guy's going to do. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is going to do. It doesn't. It doesn't matter what your schoolmates are going to do, what your family's going to do. It doesn't matter what I'm going to do. Who are you going to be? Are you going to follow Him? That is what really matters. And Jesus is just saying this to Peter straight up. He's like, stop. Just stop it. Stop being so concerned about everybody else. Stop being so concerned about how great they're going to be. Or if their job that I call them to do is going to be better or look cooler. Or they're going to have nicer cars or better things in life than you. Just stop. Stop comparing yourself. I'm telling you today, men and women of God, listen to me. Stop. Stop comparing yourself. Stop judging yourself against others and condemning other people and looking at them and yourself and see, well, they look so great. Don't look at me this way, guys. Please, don't. I love you. Don't just follow me. Listen, you've got to follow God. You can't just follow me. What if I die? Then where are you going? It's like all those guys following Forrest Gump. He was a running. But then he stopped. And where were they left? They followed him back and forth across the country, thinking he had this great purpose. They're following somebody who has no purpose. You can't just follow people. You've got to unite yourself with people. You've got to build with people. You've got to build with your church. Come on, you got to build with your pastors, but don't just follow them. You've got to have a desire after the Lord. You've got to desire what He desires. And it can't be about what other people look like or what they're doing or it's the cool thing. Man, you see how many people are youth group today? Oh, three. That was so thick. Man, I got to keep going because there's so many people. Because it's so cool. No. You don't come here because it's so cool. You got to come because you want to follow God, because you desire God, because you want to desire what He desires. You know what I'm saying? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Listen. God willed you. God willed you to be just the way you are. Not to be any more pretty or any more ugly or any more tall or any more short. All right? He willed you to be you. Not everybody can be as pretty as Jamin. Come on. It just can't be. If everybody was as pretty as Jamin, nobody would ever want to look at the JCPenney catalog. You know what I'm saying? Because we just look around and everybody would be there. God willed you to be you, not to be me. He willed me to be me. Don't try to be me. You be you, I'll be me, all right? And we'll work together to desire what God desires, to achieve what God wants to achieve. Amen? And we're going to see great things. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see God transform people's lives. Will you stand up with me right now? This series on character is going to be a season that you will have an opportunity to be willing to lay yourself on the threshing floor, to stir up that desire inside of you that God would have His way, His will, and His timing in your life. That your heart would be ready and willing to take time to watch and pray and to seek the Lord and believe Him for a fresh breath of His Holy Spirit to breathe new on you, changing you from the inside out, deepening your spiritual well beyond the surface of an outward thing, but into the spiritual depths of life transformation, where you can not only feed on God's goodness for your own self, but also you could lead others to that well that would bring them to eternal life. And that they would drink from the Lord and they would thirst no more. Now listen, I want to ask you today, if you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you know in your heart that you're just broken in your sin, and you're ready for a change, you're ready to desire what God desires, you're tired of living your own, your old way, the same way Peter was living for himself. Bri, would you come? Let's just worship just a hair here. I want to ask you here, right now, if this is you, if you're in a place where you're ready for a change, and as Jesus said, if you're willing to declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to ask you the same thing today. If you're willing to declare God before men here today, He'll be willing to declare you before His Father in heaven. Look, if you're ready to make a change, you're tired and you're done with desiring what you used to desire, and you're ready to desire what God desires, I want to encourage you, come to the front right now. I want to pray for you. You're ready for a change in your life. You're ready to accept God. You're ready to have a change. You're ready to just see His transformation. Just come forward. If that's you, praise the Lord. There's the one. You're ready to desire something new. Come on. How many of you guys are brave enough? There's something in there for you. You feel God stirring your heart. Where do you want to be? If God were to judge you today based on His commandments, would you be found guilty? The Bible says that Jesus is the only way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and then we're all broken and dead in our sin. And without Him, there is no eternal life. It's eternal separation from God, because real life is in the Lord. When we come into God's presence, then we really begin to live. And eternal separation from God is death. The Bible says that we will spend eternity in the lake of fire if we do not ask Christ to forgive us for our sins and accept Him as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. Amen? If we do this, then we will be saved. If you're ready to declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, come on, come forward right now. Today is your day. All right, if you're ready today to engage in what God desires, outside of just giving your heart to Christ, you're ready for a change, all right? You want to desire what God desires. You want to change from your selfish way of living. You have been living for yourself. You've been living in sin. It's time to change. Come on, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. Come on, be brave. It's time to change. There's no time to wait anymore. It's time to change. Amen. Everybody else, if you just grab the chairs and move them off to the side real quick. And you can come back and we're just going to begin to worship. Praise God. If you still want to come forward, I encourage you, come up here and receive prayer. Do not miss out on what God wants to do in your life. If our leaders could just come around, and I want you to everybody just to stretch a hand, and let's pray here, and then we're going to begin to worship together. Now, here's the thing. Basically, what you all need to do, what all of us need to do, is to take our hearts and begin to turn them as Peter turned his heart to the Lord and began, he was willing to wait and to pray and to wait on what God has for him. That's what you need to do today. So, if you would just pray with me, and we're just going to declare God's desires in our heart. Amen. Why don't everybody in the whole place, we just pray together this out loud. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my self-desire. Change my desire today. Let it be after you. After your will. After your ways. In your timing, God. Fill me with your love today. Help me to desire what you desire. God, let me live a life of love that pleases you. Help me to wait upon you. Give me boldness and strength to stand in this world and desire what you desire and to live what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray over you. If you just lift your hands and just begin to worship, I want to pray for you. Father God, I ask for a blessing over your people today, God, that you would fill them with your Spirit, God, that your love would be upon them, God, that you'd move in power over their lives, God, that they would begin to desire what you desire. Light a fire inside of them right now, that they would be lit on fire for you, God, as they go into their campuses, onto their schools, that they go into their families and their homes, God, that they would burn for you, God, they would burn for you in Jesus' name. God, impart in them a boldness, a strength, to live, not only to talk with their words, but to live out your desires, God. Fill them now, God. Fill them with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on them in Jesus' name. Amen.